And good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. And our special guest today is Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson. Before we get to her, it's pledge drive. And we do need you to give us a call. The number is 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We have a special pledge premium I do want to mention. Texas movie theater passes go good for any movie at the historic Texas Theater, which is in Representative Johnson's district. Go to thetexastheater.com to see all movie showings. The Texas Theater is located... No, it isn't in your district anymore. That's in Mark Vesey's district now. Yeah, but it was in your district. The Texas Theater is located at 231 West Jefferson Boulevard in Dallas in Oak Cliff. You have one pair for pledge. At KNON, a $30 pledge gets a pair of tickets, or a $60 pledge gets a pair of tickets and a T-shirt. Tickets will be mailed 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We have one other special. The Spiral Diner, also in Mark Vesey's district.
It's okay.
It's okay. Used to be your district. Yeah. Used to be your district.
We
Spiral Diner and Bakery, it's a $30 gift certificate. Are you a vegan? Are you interested in trying and eating some healthy food? Well, now is your chance to eat some of the best-tasting vegan food in town. They really are good. Have you been there?
No.
It really is good. At Spiral Diner, Spiral Diner uses only organic ingredients whenever possible, and all items on their menu are 100% vegan. I have one Spiral Diner Bakery gift certificate for a pledge of $50, or a $50 pledge gets the $30 gift certificate and a bumper sticker and a program schedule. Spiral Diner is located at 1101 North Beckley in Dallas in Oak Cliff. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Closed on Mondays. We will mail those. Yes, it is one that we have, 972-647-1893. Annie, are those phones ringing?
They are not ringing yet.
Okay,
let's light them phones up, folks.
972-647-1893. Welcome, Representative Johnson. Thank you for being here. That was kind of a nutty beginning. Patty, you had a whole list of things that, I kind of sent out. What would you like to talk about? Patty sent back this whole list, so go ahead.
But they're great items.
Oh, they are. They are. And, you know, this is our 30th anniversary. This month, in 1983, KNON approached the Dallas Gay Alliance, and we began the very first, oldest, longest-running LGBT radio show anywhere in the United States. And I think you were back supporting us back then.
I was just thinking about that, because when I left the Carter administration and moved back here, the first person that I saw was Bill Nelson, who was alerting me to the HIV virus, which I had never heard about. Mm-hmm. In early 1981, when Hartin Sanger was chair of the Health and Human Services Commission, she asked me to come on to the commission. I was appointed to the commission, and we started to address it then. And I remember people wanting me to stop talking about it.
Really?
But I met with ministers. I met with health providers to say, they kept saying it was a disease of the gay community. I said, no, it's a virus, and I don't know any virus who can pick out anybody who decides what sexual preference they have. This is a virus, and everybody needs the information. I will always be grateful to the gay community for taking the lead to educate the people about that deadly virus.
And you know, Bill Nelson was the original host on this show.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
30 years ago
this month.
He was quite a man.
He was. We all miss him.
A leader.
Yeah.
Well, we have, I think the big news, I think, for most of our listeners, and certainly us, is ENDA. You think, yesterday or the day before, a staffer for Harry Reid's office said that might get a vote in the Senate. Do you think anything?
Well, it's come out of committee. And it came out of committee with three Republicans supporting it. The Senate does much better things right now than what we're doing in the House. But I believe it might get a vote.
I love how
understated. And real quick, for those who don't know, ENDA is the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Yeah. Right. It should have passed years ago. And it's all a part of equality. But in the House, we have I understand about 93 Tea Party people who want to take us back to the prehistoric days. And that's very difficult to deal with. The threats to the people who are willing to be more forward-thinking. And they try to make sure that those threats are carried out. You know, they threaten primary opposition. And, of course, when those people get primary opposition, it's farther to the right than what they are. Mm-hmm. But that would be a good sign if we did get a vote in the Senate.
I think it would be awesome. Yeah. Especially since, like, 70% of Americans think it's already there.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
It's not just that they support it. They think it's already
the law.
They assume it's already there.
Because it doesn't occur to most Americans that, well, it's okay to discriminate against anybody based on anything.
Right.
Right. Well, the local governments and many of the state governments and county governments have already implemented those policies. And I know within the federal government, most of us, you know, within our individual offices, we have total control of the policies that we have. However, there is a policy not to discriminate. And I can tell you that I look for brain power when I look for staff. And I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they came from. I don't care what their sexual preference is. I don't even inquire about it. Don't pay it any attention. I'm mostly interested in what they bring
Absolutely.
To the table.
Right.
And I think she has a gay person working in her office.
Yeah.
Probably. Now,
there's probably more than one.
Probably, yeah.
There's been a lot of push for the president to issue an executive order about INDA. Any thoughts of why he has not done that?
I really have not given much thought as to why he has not done it. The president gets such a hard time on everything he tries to do that since we've had the Supreme Court, which is not a real friendly court, do what they did, issue the opinion that they issued, I think he feels that that should speak for the entire picture of equality. I think, however, that if this gets to be a big issue of whether it's going to pass or not pass, it might be a different story.
Right.
Well, I think if there were an executive order, it might tend to give Congress a kind of a pass. Like, oh,
yes.
We don't have to pass this law. And then whoever the next president is or presidents down the road could lift that order. And we'd
Absolutely.
Be right back where we started.
And
then it would create opposition because whatever the president's for, that Tea Party group is going to be against, even if it's for their parents.
You know, I read a wonderful report this week that said that he should come out against oxygen.
Yes.
Because if he does, then the whole team, well, we're for it, and there's global warming going on.
Right.
And he could be just taking a route that the same way he took the route with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He could have issued an executive order with that also, but he wanted to, but he knew that if he were to leave office, that executive order could just be taken away, and so he wanted to do it through the law, change the law.
He would probably create opposition to it because they are, and I don't think the nation is fooled by it. I think everyone now can see through this that whatever the president's for, they're going to be against. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is there are some policies that he's carried on from Republicans, and they're against that too, just because he's for it.
Just because he's for it. You're absolutely right.
Hence the like 40th vote on to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act.
Right.
It's insane because it was originally in
a Republican idea.
Exactly. You know, then let me say while I'm talking that on Monday at St. Paul United Methodist Church, there will be a town hall meeting on that very act to explain to people to get certified in the marketplace for health care coverage. And we hope that to have as many people as possible to come out and get the real information. If they listen to Senator Cruz and Senator Corning, they will not get the correct information.
Ted Cruz would lie to us?
Well, you know, he might not consider it lying. He might be so smart that he doesn't see it like the law really is. because I sit and watch him sometime and listen to him, and I think to myself, why can't I be that smart to see everything that the president says differently? No matter what. If the president says, I pledge allegiance to the flag, he's got a comment to make about how he said it.
It's not a flag.
It's not a flag.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the details on that meeting so that everyone can come?
Yeah.
Yes. There will be an open forum with testing, with blood pressure and what have you, starting at 3 o'clock. And full meals, buffet, and then at 5:30, we'll have a formal program. There will be speakers there from government agencies that can explain every detail of the law. And everyone's welcome. And we hope that many, many people will come. We especially want 26-year-olds that will be leaving the parents' coverage. And what we're finding is that they don't, sometimes the opportunity is not there because we all know that young people are the heaviest unemployed and don't go right where they have the opportunity. But this is an opportunity to go into a plan that will be priced for affordability, mm-hmm. for coverage. And, of course, Texas has the largest number of uninsured health insurance in the nation. And Dallas County has one of the largest percentages in the state. So we're hoping to get a number of people out to get the information so that they can be certified by October the 1st.
Now, this is on which date?
This is on Monday from 3 to 8.
And it's at St. Paul United Methodist Church.
St. Paul United Methodist Church, which is right across the street from the Arts Magnet.
Downtown.
Right. Downtown.
So exactly it is downtown. It is. So, we have a couple of minutes before we need to break. So I wanted to ask you if you even know or if I'm reading this wrong. I have one question about the health care exchange. Now, of course, your friend, Governor Perry. I was waiting for that.
I used to know him.
So your friend Governor Perry refused to expand Medicaid, and he refused to do a statewide exchange. So we're relying on the federal government for that. So we don't know what the costs are going to be within Texas for people who go to the exchange, right? And we'll know that October 1st.
That's right. We don't know. What we do know is that it will be affordable. I think it'll be governed by income, and it'll be a 200% better than what we have now when people don't have health insurance, because we're looking at prevention. There will be an expansion of the community health centers so that primary care and prevention will be a big focus. When we can focus on prevention, we can prevent a lot of hospitalization, long-term illnesses, and long-term neglect, because people can feel free to go back to those centers to get instructions as to how to take care of themselves, how to change dressings, and even early diagnosis. Early diagnosis leads to early intervention, which cuts off suffering and prolongs life. So we're hoping that this works. And I will say that I sincerely believe, that in 10 years, people will see this plan the same as they see Social Security today.
Sure.
It will be a
I agree.
Major intervention for the American people. And it's so unfortunate that just because it has come under President Obama, that it has been so fought by the Republicans. However, they might be sorry in 10 years that they called this Obamacare.
Oh, do you know, so the best thing he did was embrace the term Obamacare.
That's right.
When he, I forgot where he was, but he made the speech, he said, you know, or what you call Obamacare, and he said, you know, I kind of like that name for it.
They did it to insult him, but it would be a compliment.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He had the foresight and the leadership to push us into moving ahead. You know, we've been talking about passing health care where everyone will have access to coverage since Medicare and Medicaid, because as you know, when we started Social Security, it wasn't long before people realized that they needed some kind of health intervention. So it took 20 years to get Medicare. You know, after Lyndon Johnson was elected president and brought in a big majority, we got Medicare, an amendment to the Social Security Act, and Medicaid, which is also an amendment. This will not be an amendment to Social Security, but it will be have the same standing. Absolutely. People will have the same security for health coverage in the future when they sign up.
We need to take a break, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about this, because one of the questions I had to do with how people will actually pay for it, which I know is really what concerns a lot of people. It's not that they don't want it, but there's a concern about paying for it, and there is a method.
And talk about a couple of misconceptions about
and
it also.
You think there are misconceptions with this? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. It is Pledge Drive, and we do need you to give us a call. Doc is standing by at the phones. Doc, those phones haven't rung, have they? No, he's shaking his head. We have a special pledge premium. The Spiral Diner has a $30 gift certificate. That's for a $50 pledge. You can't beat that. Or two tickets to the Texas Theater for a $30 pledge, or $60 pledge gets you a T-shirt and the tickets. Give us a call. We have our T-shirts. We have Patty's famous barbecue apron.
Love the apron.
And give us a call, 972-647-1893, 972-647-1893. Before we go, I want to also mention next week to say thank you to Angela Hunt for 8 years serving the gay and lesbian community.
In the city of Dallas.
In the city of Dallas. But serving the Oakland
community.
The Arts District and everything else that she's done. We're having her here in the studio. We'll have a couple of other special guests who are here to say thank you. You can join us. It's $25 to participate. We're having lunch afterwards here in the studio. But you can come on the air. You can say, you can ask a question. You can say thank you. We'll talk about her race for governor. And, well, she announced it on our show.
She said, yeah, I'll run for governor. Like,
we'll be back.
Run with it.
Well, if she didn't know she was running, she knows
she
now.
She knows now. And we keep replaying that clip. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back right after this.
KNON's Lambda Weekly LGBTQ talk show is holding the first ever Lambda Luncheon and live broadcast on Saturday, August 24th at the KNON Studios. This event will be a tribute to former Dallas City Councilwoman Angela Hunt of District 14, thanking her for her tireless efforts and service to the community. Join David Taffet, the late Patty Fink, and Lerone Landis acknowledging the achievements of Angela Hunt during a live broadcast of the longest-running LGBTQ talk show on America's airwaves. There promises to be discussion of hot topics and Reflections with Angela Hunt. Following the broadcast will be a delicious lunch from Thai-rific at noon. This is your chance to be a part of live radio. For tickets or more information, knon.org. That's the first ever Lambda Luncheon with David Taffet, Patty Fink, Lerone Landis, and former Dallas City Councilwoman Angela Hunt on Saturday morning, August 24th, beginning at 11 a.m. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. This is a KNON benefit event. All proceeds go to support Lambda Weekly on KNON.
KNON depends on listener support to stay on the air, and now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show your appreciation for great community radio, pick up the phone and call to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. Call 972-647-1893 or go online to knon.org.
That's right. This program is your program. You own this program. And guess what? I'm waiting on you to call in at 972-647-1893, KNON.org. Hey, guess what? We're waiting on you. Today is a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. My pockets are full of money and overflowing, and some of it is going to KNON. All right, caller, do I have you on line one? Is that caller on line one right there doing a pledge?
I'm Christina from the Owens,
and I listen to Lambda Weekly
on 89.3 KNON FM.
See you later.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and with Lerone Landis. Our special guest today is Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, who has been my representative for, well, I voted for you for state senate when you first ran in Oak Cliff. Patty purposely moved out of your district. So did LaRon.
I've never lived in your district.
You better live for
resident. I'm the good one because I voted for her.
I'm in Mr. Hinserling's district.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I don't even live
Maybe
in Dallas.
Maybe you can convince some people to switch.
Which we're working on getting people to switch.
It's not always so bad if you can convince people around you that we need to look for.
My precinct went Democratic after being Republican for umpteen years, and we've been Democratic since the early 2000s. Yeah. So.
That's great.
We were talking about health care reform, and I do have a question, and it could just be the way this website was worded. I went onto a website that said to show how much you would pay based on your income. So I put my income in, and an insurance policy for somebody my age, a middle policy, because there are like five levels of policies on the federal exchanges, or they're planning that, and these are just expected rates, would be, like you said, you're paying $9,000 for Danny. Mine would come out to about $9,000, but I would only owe about $2,500. How is the government getting the rest of that paid? What it said was tax credit, and is that explain how that's going to work, if
well,
you know
I,
even.
Well, I hope I know how it works. Yeah. But I know that there has been a lot of money appropriated for the purpose of getting it started. The states would not have been out of any money to have the exchange or to take part in the program. They would have gained money because they would have given enough seed money to get it started.
Obama's for money, so Perry's against it.
Right. He'll take every penny we send here if he can spend it the way he wants to and not according to regulations. And we've had conversations on that. I've had a conversation on him about Medicaid because we have a huge number of people that are eligible for Medicaid. And out of all the funds that we need Medicaid and education funds more desperately than any other funds. And he said to me, I said, let's work out a win-win situation because I can't imagine our state turning this opportunity down for the people. And he said, oh, all you have to do is give me a block grant and I'll take it, which means give it to him for a slush fund and he'll spend it the way he wants to. He didn't want to follow any regulations. Well, if the government did that, we'd be broker than what we are. And still wouldn't have nearly as much done. We've got to use guidelines. Right now, for example, in education where we have Title I and different programs focused on low income and focused on bringing up deficits where we have special needs for students, they're taking all of the guidelines out so that they can block grant everything and the local people, starting with the governor, can do whatever they want to do with the money. That has never worked. It doesn't work with highways. It doesn't work with airlines. It doesn't work with airports. It doesn't work in education. And certainly in a state where the rights are still questioned for everyone, where equality is questioned, it is not going to work in Texas. We've got to have regulation. We had the explosion in West Texas because our state government did not oversee the regulations. This man that owned this company had paid many fines for being out of compliance. Then they had the big explosion. Guess where they want to go? They want to go to government to get the government funds to rebuild. I did an op-ed asking, does the government pick up the tab for every lawbreaker? If that's a new standard, we won't have any dollars. That's why we have regulations. It is protect the people. And so, but you have a governor who's bashing the federal government because they don't pay more money from FEMA for the people. I have great, great understanding in the needs for the people who suffered from that blast. However, that's a man-made disaster. Mm-hmm. A man who had broken the law. Do you pick up the tab for people that break laws and hurt other people? Where was his insurance? What is he? Where is he? He's not in jail. Lawbreakers normally have sanctions by the laws in a democracy. One of the strengths of a democracy is to have a system of justice.
Absolutely.
And I want to get back to health care.
Yes.
it was a very logical
so much.
I could be railing on about it. That applies to Wall Street. That applies to so many things what you just said.
That's
well, but here was my question. How are people – how's the balance of that health care policy going to be paid for, especially in the first year?
It'll be paid for based on how many people sign up. And it'll be because there is also a provision of the law that says that the insurance companies cannot make a profit off of people's illnesses. So if they pay more into the policy than they need to pay back for their coverage, that's a refund. And right now, people are getting refunds that have coverage where insurance companies collect more than needed to cover the coverage and a reasonable administration, they send it back. That was something like $7 billion refunded this year for people who had health care coverage where the insurance company collected more than they needed to pay out for the benefits.
After, and they can even make a reasonable profit, but they
yes.
have to pay out the
But
the
it's
amount
a percentage of which they cannot just make all profit. It, mm-hmm. It has to go for the coverage of the health care.
One of the big misconceptions about the Affordable Care Act is that, for people who can't afford health insurance, the government's going to help subsidize them.
Yes.
But I think there's a misconception that you have to be dirt poor to get that subsidy. That's not
no,
true.
No, it's like a sliding scale. It's like also small businesses that have had difficulty finding insurance companies that will do a reasonable policy for a small number of employees. Insurance companies obviously like big numbers of employees of young people. So that they can pay in and never use it. And if you notice, insurance companies dumps everybody into Medicare when they get 65. That
yes.
is a part of life where you need more health care than any other time of your life. They have gotten all your money over these years, and then Medicare has to be the first payer. It is our structure of the insurance industry has made them cash cows. I don't believe philosophically that the health of people should be at the whims of the way the insurance companies had to operate prior to this law. There have already been improvements, but there will be more, and they can still make money. I believe in businesses. I believe in profit, but I also believe strongly in competition. When the people have choices, you will see that the prices go down. It's like anything else. Well, when we drive up to a service station and the gas is over $4 a gallon and down the street is $3, people are going to go down the street. Mm-hmm. And that's the way this is going to work. They'll have a choice of which exchange that they want to sign up for. And if they sign up and look up and find they can get a better deal somewhere, they'll have that privilege. Right now, they don't.
And Lord knows you can compete, there's a lot of competition for car insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Lord knows the commercials.
I mean, exactly.
Property insurance. I look at all the rates.
Yes.
Well, actually, insurance companies are actually financial institutions.
Sure.
You know, there's no question about that.
Exactly.
Let me just, while we're at a breaking point, it is still pledge drive here at KNON. It's our, we're trying to finish
up. Ring.
And the number is
972-647-1893.
That's 972-647-1893. Lots of pledge premiums. You know, this is the only station that people like Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson would even think of coming on because... Because we're the nice people.
Yeah. And we're not for profit.
But this
you
is
know,
the one
we're sitting
place
here volunteers.
And where you get real information.
It is. You know, it is the only place that you can come and just discuss all these issues for a full hour. You go to most of the other stations, it'll be a two-minute soundbite, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't get a chance to discuss these things. So help keep us on the air because it's all live. It's all local. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. I want to change gears a little bit.
I do. But I want to make one comment.
Go ahead.
When in 10 years, when we're Obamacare has stuck and it's a great thing, we don't want to let go, we'll mm-hmm. see misspelled signs that say, "Keep government out of my Obamacare."
Right.
That's right.
We have.
Leave my Obamacare alone.
That's right.
We have elections coming up next year for state government. What's your opinion of Wendy Davis? Do you think she has a chance to, if she decides to run, and she's going to decide right after Labor Day, what do you think her chances are?
Well, let me say that that's the only person that I know that has expressed that's a possibility of her running. But I can assure you, she is very superior to what we've had.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I'm going to be out there doing everything I can to try to see if we can get our state moved back in the sane column. Because right now, we are looked upon as something that people can't figure out. Whether we are part of the United States, whether we are part of the sane, or do we just keep producing these real odd people? When you, our governor who makes these big proclamations of what he's going to do, and then he can't remember what it was. And then we have, I don't even know how to describe our two senators. It just depends on which way they think the Tea Party's wind is blowing. We've got to do better than that. We are a state with lots of learned people, with lots of working people, lots of sincere people. We deserve better representation, and I hope that we'll all get out there and make sure that we get better representation in our governor's office when this election comes up. And then I hope we'll also have a candidate that will challenge the present senior senator that we have, who is getting worse by the day because he's trying to pair up with Cruz because he's trying to make sure that the Tea Party people support him. And, you know, once you go to those extremes, they will not let you come back. And this is what happened, I think, with our current governor when he was trying to make sure he could out-extreme Kay Bailey Hutchison to win the nomination in the Republican primary. He made all these crazy commitments, and it caused him to win because he told me himself that he looked at the profile of the Republican primary voter, and then he moved to satisfy that profile. I'm hoping that every Republican will go to the polls in their own primary and get a sensible candidate. Abbott is not the one.
I'm not sure there is one over there.
No, I'm not sure it's one either.
Or that there will be one.
I think Abbott
But let's come back to the common sense area of our state, and so that we can be a proud state again.
I think Abbott, if he's elected, could make Rick Perry look like a good governor.
Yes.
That would be very scary.
It would be
and
very
what's
scary.
So scary about that is that when I have visited in the past with Abbott, he sounded very sensible. He's gotten crazier and crazier and crazier, which means to me that they all have the same message. To win the Republican primary, you have got to be a right-wing... off the chart.
And, do you know what bothers me about
that?
And
that does not represent this state.
Do you know what has always bothered me about? And this is from day one. When he got into office, the first thing he worked on was tort reform. And so it was like, well, I got mine because he was injured in an accident in the 1980s. And he got a very handsome settlement. And the first thing he did was make sure nobody else could get one.
Right. He was jogging and a tree fell on him.
Yes.
And it paralyzed him. And
he wants
if that happens to somebody else, there's...
That's right. He wanted to make sure his money kept coming, so he wanted to cut off any idea for anybody else to get any. It's really... you wonder why people want to represent other people when they're only interested in themselves. But to go and campaign for people to elect you to take on a leadership position to represent a whole state of people when it's clear that the only person you have in mind is yourself, that is not the criteria for representing people. You have to think about the needs of the people. You have to think about the opportunities for the people. You have to think about equality for all people. And if you can't think in those veins, and I don't think you have the qualifications to say that you want to head up a state, nobody wants to be the brunt of every joke in this country like Texas is now.
It's so true.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Greg Abbott's campaign manager, Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this. It is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We'll be back right after this.
KNON thanks Mango's Noodle House, Sushi, and Live Crawfish for their support of Community Radio. Mango's is located at 13605 Midway Road, Suite 140 at Alpha Road in Addison, and is open Monday through Sunday for lunch and dinner. Mango's has a variety of dishes including pho, vegan options, boba tea, sushi, and live crawfish served year-round with your choice of mild, spicy, or radioactive. Catering is available. For more information and menu, mangosnoodlehouse.com.
The Sons of Herman, Lost Disc Airmen, Disc Golf Association, and the Gas Pipe, the Gas Pipe, the Gas Pipe present the first annual KNON Disc Golf Tournament and After Party on Saturday, September the 7th. The tournament will be held at B.B. Owens Park, located at 10700 Kingsley Road in Dallas, beginning at 4 p.m. There will be goodie bags, games, an ace hole contest, poker run, and more. Then, beginning at 7 p.m., the party starts at the Sons of Herman Hall, located at 3414 Elm Street in Deep Ellum, with free food and live music by Texas Slim, Jay Johnson, and All Lit Up. To register, contact me, Hippie Bob. Bobby Wilbanks at 972-658-8577 or go to KNON.org. Participants of the disc golf tournament admitted free into the after party. But if you just want to go down to the show, you can get tickets at KNON.org. That's the first annual KNON disc golf tournament and after party on September the 7th at B.B. Owens Park, and the after party with Texas Slim, Jay Johnson, All Lit Up, and free dinner at the Sons of Herman Hall, presented by the Sons of Herman Hall, Lost Disc Airmen, Disc Golf Association, and the Gas Pipe, the Gas Pipe, the Gas Pipe. This is a KNON benefit event.
This is William. I listen to Lambda Weekly at 11 a.m. on Saturdays on KNON 89.3 FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest is Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson. It is Pledge Drive, and we do need you to give us a call to support the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show on anywhere in the world. And whose district is that show in?
Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson.
It is. So
right.
You are
right,
the representative of the oldest, longest running gay and lesbian show anywhere in the world.
And you know, you can give online too. You can go online to KNON.org. And so if you're listening to this with the podcast from iTunes, or you've got it from our website, or you've downloaded it maybe from YouTube and watched the video podcast, you can go online later in the week and go to KNON.org, click Pledge, and do it right there, and just put Morning Talk or Saturday Talk or Lambda Weekly or just LW.
One of the easy ways is with a monthly pledge, a monthly bank draft. Just give us a call. Just get us your name, address, phone number. The office will get back in touch with you and arrange that. $10 a month. Boy, does that help, because it comes in regularly and it helps us with our cash flow. 972-647-1893. Of course, it could be $20 a month, $30 a month, which is just a dollar a day. 972-647-1893. Give us a call. Laron.
Last time you were on, Ms. Johnson, you talked about the poll tax, your experiences with that. And here we are again with voting issues, what the Supreme Court just did. And was it this week that the North Carolina passed a law that requires you to show some federal ID?
Yeah, but it took them a month to pass that. We got it through in 2 hours.
That's true. That's true.
So true.
That's true. We beat them.
We should be proud.
We really should. What are your thoughts about all this?
Well, you know, what I thought was most unfortunate, that the minute the Supreme Court ruling came down, within an hour or two, our Attorney General, the man who is pledged to be the attorney for the people of the state, which means that that is the last word of protection legally in our states, did a gotcha. We're going to implement our ID law. Yes. Starting tomorrow.
After the Justice Department already said this is unconstitutional.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. We've had two circuit courts to indicate that this state was out of compliance. Mm-hmm. And one was under Section 5, one under Section 2. The court struck down Section 4, which sets up all the criteria for the implementation of Section 5. Now, and we have to go back and redo that. When this case went to the Supreme Court, the appeal was to Section 5, and that was the focus for the legal debate. They said that they had no proof the material was old. Well, when we reauthorized the Voting Rights Act in 2006, there were a huge number of hearings, piles of testimony and data. But that was not what was in question. The question was Section 5. So all that data probably was not submitted, but it was available. When you have a court that is the highest court in the land, they have a responsibility to look at the data themselves without making that type of decision. So I still believe that the Supreme Court made a very wrong decision based on the history of voting in this country over the years. It is no secret that the population and demographics have changed. It is no secret that we've elected an African-American president twice now, and that the desperation of the Republican Party is very well known. It's visible. The actions that they are taking, they know that early voting is experienced an opportunity more for minority voters than anyone else. They know that Sunday voting after church has been taken advantage of by minority voters. So what they do, try to cut it out. They also know that there are many, many, many citizens in this country that do not have government-issued voter ID. Many don't drive, especially many of our seniors. And many of our seniors who've been voting for years don't have a copy of their birth certificate. Because when you go back and somebody is 80 or 90 years old, especially a minority, it's questionable whether there are real records available to prove it. Now, and they've been voting all these years, and all of a sudden it's a reinvention. We might not have to pay the poll tax as such, but the discrimination against these people is worse than a poll tax. That was outlawed many years ago, and in Texas in 1966, I think. But it is unconscionable, the direction that the people who are anti-minority is being so blatant, because it's clear that that's who they wish not to be voting, the women, the gays, the African-Americans, the Latinos, the Asians, because
poor people.
And poor people, because it is an economic situation. Even way back, even in Texas, you had to own property before you could vote. Well, who did that discriminate against? The poor, and most especially minorities. If they could bring those obvious things back, I think they'd do it. This is almost like going back to the early days of the Republic in this country. It's unfortunate. But I can tell you, no matter what barriers they put up, people are determined to vote. If you notice all the stuff they did the last election, I went to Cleveland and saw lines and lines and lines of people in line 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 hours, and we were there telling them to stay in line, please don't leave. That is not supposed to happen in this country. We have been assigned to observe elections in other countries that were better handled than what we've done in this country of late.
Amen. That's the same.
And there's already been a lawsuit, correct, that's been filed against this implementation of having to have a voter ID in Texas.
Yes. Representative Vesey and others filed in the Corpus Christi court.
Mm-hmm. He was on our show a few weeks ago and talked about that. And it was like immediately right after the ruling.
Yes.
Right. I have a hard time believing, and I've been a native Texan here, grew up here most of my life.
It is unbelievable that you are. This is 2013,
and we've been discussing this.
And the thing is, though, that the racism in our state, in our communities, is still here.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and to think it's not being played out, and people go, "Oh, we're past
you
that."
You expect your leaders to stand up against that type of thing, which helps to guide the people in another direction. But if you've got leaders in your government that's espousing racism and espousing inequalities, then it brings that out in your electorate. That's what's so important. You expect leaders to lead, but not in the wrong direction.
You know, I kind of like the Australian law where everybody's required to vote.
They come get you if you don't.
Yeah, they come.
Well,
yeah.
they send you a. It's like a traffic ticket that you get if you don't. But everybody is required to vote, and it's kind of like people think of it like jury duty. It's mm-hmm. just something that you.
Yes.
That you do. It's your civic
it's a
duty to vote. And I mean, Congress should be making laws that make it easier to vote.
Right.
That encourage more people to vote, if not requiring it.
Well, you know, they make laws to encourage certain people to vote.
True.
There you
go. And they don't want certain others to vote.
Yeah.
And the people who believe in not allowing certain people of descriptions not to vote certainly does not fit into this democracy. Mm-hmm. The highest level of any democracy is for people's voices to be heard, whether you agree or not. But the opportunity to be heard, and the greatest way to be heard is to vote.
Absolutely.
It is pledge drive. I'm really asking our listeners to call. Our phone person is not on the phone right now. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Representative Johnson, several weeks ago you signed a letter that Jerry Nadler wrote, a representative from New York, and it was a letter in opposition to our participating in the Russian Olympics because of what's going on in Russia.
Somebody pick something that's going on in Russia, because there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of things. This is specifically about what's going on with the gay and lesbian discrimination law over there. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the letter, about the group that signed, you and Representative Veazey, the only two Texas representatives that signed.
Well, I had mixed feelings about it because I think sometimes you use opportunities to educate.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I think that Russia has shown that they are more and more taking positions that we cannot agree with as a country. And we as a country are having such an internal struggle of allowing our democracy to go as planned that it's two ways in which you can look at it. One, we're letting them know that we do not agree with what they're doing. But also, to participate also shows them an example of how people can participate who might be gay or lesbian. Because in every field where there's anything positive going on, you're going to find gay and lesbian people. And so to say that the best athletes might not be able to participate because of that is a travesty.
Yep.
But if they allow all the people that are eligible to participate, they will be allowing gay and lesbian people to participate. It is just the idea that a country, that the USSR was broken up so that democracy could prevail. We as a country still do a lot of business and research in conjunction with Russia, and we really don't. I don't want to see us get into a point where we are looking at war again, which would be very destructive. But at the same time, our voices must be heard when we speak up for equality.
Mm-hmm. And I thought the president was so eloquent last week when he spoke about he hopes that our athletes, many of whom are gay and lesbian, will bring home gold, silver, and bronze mm-hmm. for the United States, and that if the Russian teams don't have gay and lesbian athletes aboard, then they're weaker for it.
They're not going to win figure skating.
But I think that's a true example of not having a vision of equality, just mm-hmm. gun barrel vision, because some of their own athletes could very well be gay or lesbian.
Well, of course they are.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course they are. And thank you for signing that letter.
Yes.
This is the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. And I just wanted to ask you about one of your colleagues who is the only surviving speaker. He was the youngest speaker then. He's in Congress now. That's Representative Lewis. Tell us a little bit about him.
He hasn't changed at all. He still has that same commitment to equality. Just recently, there was a ceremony in the Rotunda to commemorate the 50th anniversary. And he had some videos to show some of the scenes. And then he spoke. And I think that his speech today, he talked about the fact that the only thing that has changed is his appearance. His heart hadn't changed. His commitment hadn't changed. He's gone from having an afro to being bald-headed. He's 50 years older. But everything else is the same. And the battle is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it is the same.
Two things. First of all, his appearance might have changed. Yours hasn't. You look fabulous.
You do.
I mean, you just don't look like you're almost 60 years old.
I better come here every Saturday. While we're talking about the 50th anniversary, I am sponsoring the Bells of Freedom program on the 28th, which is the actual anniversary date. It'll be at Thanksgiving Square. We'll be ringing bells, and there will be a program where we'll be giving homage to the speech of Martin Luther King and other participants, and the public is invited. It's from 12 noon to about 1 or 1:30.
What day of the week is that, do you know?
That's the 28th, I think, is what?
It's a Saturday?
No, it's either
Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Now, the March on Washington, all of that is starting around probably, they'll probably have a week-long celebration. I'm going up for the weekend. But the actual anniversary date is August 27th. Unfortunately, school has started. We had planned, and we still might get some students, but we want to focus on young people so they will know whatever opportunities they have now grew out of.
Booker T's just a couple of blocks away. They should be there.
Yes.
The other part that I was going to say, I said two things. First of all, you do look fabulous, but the other part was John Lewis. We want him on our show. Bring him to Dallas.
Yeah, I adore him. I would love to.
Yeah, and he really, he's a great guy to work with. And I know he's very busy right now, but I'll see if we can't get him here.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Would that be wonderful to have him here?
He's just a hero of mine. He was a freedom rider.
Yes.
Just an amazing story all around.
Yes.
Every time he speaks, I just have to stop everything.
I'm right there with you, Patty. You just
freeze.
He's
an orator of the Barbara Jordan, you know, quality.
And, you know, he's a minister. Mm-hmm. And that sense comes out when he speaks. But the important thing is to realize how sincere he is.
Yes. Oh,
he
sure.
is as sincere today as he was 50 years ago. He has a little speech impediment, and I say all the time, it's because of your impediment that gave me the opportunity to be here, because it was a beating over the head that affected his speech. But his heart, his actions, his activity has never been deterred from what his goals are, and that's to make this a society of equality. And you know that labor unions were a major part of that march, because it was a march for jobs and equality.
Well, we want to thank you for being here. Our hour
thank
is
you.
Just about
thank
up.
Oh, no.
And it went so quickly.
Time passes by when you're having fun.
We want some of our stories.
I know. We had a whole list of... I wanted to ask you about your early life as a nurse again, because you have wonderful... and how you got into politics, we didn't get to have to... So you have to come back.
I'll come
you
back.
Have to come back. 972-647-1893. It is Pledge Drive. Next week, we're going to have a little party here. It's celebrating our 30th anniversary. Part of our celebration is to some of our guests that we've had. Representative Johnson, Representative Vesey was with us. Next week, Angela Hunt's going to be with us, and Philip, her successor, will be here also. She'll be here helping us celebrate our 30th anniversary. Tyrific is going to cater. It's $25 for anybody who would like to join us here in the studio. During the show, after the show, please let us know. We're going to be nagging everybody on Facebook over the next week, because we need to fill this studio, because have the phones been ringing? I didn't think so. 972-647-1893. Call us during our show. Call us during the next show. I know you didn't want to interrupt to make a call. You can go online, KNON.org/pledge, and make your pledge to Lambda Weekly, the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show on anywhere in the world, located in Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson's district, which she's very proud of. It's one of those things that makes her district the district it is, which is a district I live in. Patty doesn't, neither does Laurent. I just wanted to point that out. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. And will I be voting for you again next time?
I hope you will.
Okay, you had it here. She just announced her reelection campaign. unless you're planning on doing that governor thing.
No, we've got some good candidates already.
972-647-1893, Representative
Thank
Eddie
you.
Bernice
Thank
Johnson.
You,
Representative.
Thank you.
Another candidate announces their candidacy on our show. We'll be back with more next week with Angela Hunt.
Thank you.